I make the motion.
I'll second it.
Motion by Chris, second by Mike, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, abstentions, carried, 3-0. Number three, teacher compensation benefits.
Great. Gentlemen?
Okay, if you have any questions as I'm moving along here, just ask, okay? Feel free. 3 years ago, the Pivots Board implemented a salary schedule in our handbook. Before that, when Governor Walker was elected, we had several years where we were frozen in place. We had several years where we were given a percent of the base pay, which after Act 10 went into place, lowered from $40,000 to $34,000. So that raise amounted to $500 or $600. So 3 years ago, I'm not sure of the complete logistics of this. We met as a group. I don't know who suggested we do it or whatever, but we put in a salary schedule, which you can see on page 3. So there are some other numbers on page 3 on the left and the bottom, but that doesn't really matter anymore. I used to have other districts on here for comparison. Looks like this guy.
Got it.
So we implemented that. Yeah, we implemented it 3 years ago, and it was a great benefit to our staff. Before that, like I said, everybody received the same raise, which is not fair to the younger staff members, in my opinion. And so 3 years took place, and we had a meeting with Pat, and Jeff and Kelly were there too. Several weeks ago, we asked for a raise possibly or a change. You know, we can't negotiate. That's illegal. You know, all we can do is ask. And so we asked, we talked about it with Pat, we had a conversation. And at the time, my argument was how well we're doing state score-wise. And Pat suggested at the time that's not a good argument because it dropped. So I got to thinking about that. He's got a point. So what I did was I put together these comparables, which you can see on the first section. There's base salaries there on the left in section A. You can see we rank second from the bottom. And then I put our copy where you can see we are at the bottom right now. So I talked to Pat about those. And again, he had another good suggestion. He said, well, our insurance is the highest around. Our cost of insurance is the highest, and our deductible is the lowest. And he's partially correct on that. Our deductible is the lowest. Our insurance is not the highest. We have, on this list of six districts, there are four of those districts that are in the $25,000 to $26,000 range per year, like we are. Coleman is the least at $20,000, and McConnell Falls is in there somewhere around $23,000 to $24,000. So we do have good benefits in that regard. So I got to thinking, I need to factor those in. He said, if you factor in the cost of your insurance, your low deductible, he said, your salaries are pretty good. So what I did on page 2 was I put together a package of comparables, and what I did was I calculated it by taking the deductible off of each salary and our insurance premium, which in our case is 10%. Again, other districts pay 12 and 12.6%, so we're good in that spot. But if you look at the comparables with the insurance and the deductible, we're still on the low end. You can see our base pay is still second from the bottom. Our top scale now is no longer on the bottom, but we're still in the bottom half. Okay, and you can see there in part F how I calculated these totals. And then I got to looking at lane changes in terms of comparables too. O'Connell, you can see on the bottom there, goes up $1,500. So every teacher, doesn't matter their level of education or anything else, they're gonna get the same raise every year, $1,500. O'Connell Falls is $1,300. Rocky's got two categories, $1,250 and $1,000. So what they do on the top end is they lower it a little bit so their bottom teachers can catch up. Niagara is $1,250 and $500. And then we have Privets, which we put in. This was our suggestion 3 years ago to give our lower end teachers a chance to get a larger raise. And I think, in my opinion, that has worked well. And then we have Coleman at $800 per lane, but Coleman's base pay is also $4,000 more than ours. So they start off higher. In fact, our base was $40,000 until Act 10 came in, and now it's, you know, whatever it is. It was $34,000 and it's gone up since then. I also did a little bit of research on the last, or on the front page again. If you go back to the front, I got these statistics from the National Education Association. 406 districts responded. Now, this is from 2019. You can see we ranked 320th out of 446. which is probably, I didn't figure it out, but I would say in the 70th percentile, 75th percentile. So looking at these numbers, I just think an increase would be warranted. And what we're asking for, again, we're not proposing anything, we're not trying to negotiate anything, but what we're asking for is a raise of $200 this year retroactive. So Sarah would have to work some magic. And then we're asking for our future lane changes to go up by $200 a year. So instead of $1,100 to $800, we'd like to approve a salary schedule that would go from $1,300 to $1,000. Now, I know what Pat's going to say. He's going to say we're in the hole this year, and I completely agree with him. I have no reason to believe that's not true. The cost of the $200 for this year is $12,000. Your fund balance right now is 4.46 million dollars. 10 years ago, your fund balance was $2.3 million. So over the last 10 years, you've improved your fund balance by over $2 million, which is a credit to Pat and to you as a group in terms of spending. So we're asking, because there's nothing else we can do, we're just asking if you would be willing to spend that extra $12,000 this year to give us a raise of $200 each, and then that would have to come out of the fund balance this year. There's nowhere else to get it. Next year, Pat would have to come up with a plan in his budget to cover it, whether it was, you know, something out of athletics, whether it was something out of buildings and grounds. Obviously, we understand 100%, you cannot keep cutting that out of fund balance, okay? So Pat and I are 100% of that. This year it would have to come out of the fund balance. So I crunched some numbers, and in terms of the $12,000, what we're asking for is 1/4 of 1% of your fund balance. In fact, if your fund balance was $100, we're asking 27 cents. It's a small gesture, I think, to show your staff that you appreciate everything we do, whether it's the high test scores, whether, you know, we're covering classes during this whole pandemic, whatever we need, we're asking for a small increase. Does anybody have any questions on the salary schedule?
I just have a couple comments relative to what you're saying. I'm certainly not fundamentally or philosophically opposed to anyone getting an increase, but just so that everybody is on the same page and has the same information, a couple of things on the comparables. The state rank average teacher's pay, using that as a comparable in this situation, it's challenging because that is in large part a function of the age of a staff. So to say that a young staff average teacher pay versus a veteran staff average teacher pay, it's hard to use that as a comparable, because that's really what that ranking is a function of, is in terms of the age and experience of a staff. And our staff is relatively young at this point, which would then necessarily bring that down in as a comparative.
Can I comment with that?
Yep, just one other quick one. Sure. You can touch on both if you want. I checked with Oconto today, and the plus 1500, it may be within their salary schedule, but once you top out at the end of that salary schedule, it's whatever they give you in a year, usually it's CPI.
Yeah.
So it's not 1500 once you get, say, if 20 years is as far as it goes, it's not year 21 is 1500, year 22 is 1500. At that point, it's CPI, which is
CPI of the top level where you're at. So that's going to be $1,200 or $1,300 a year, probably.
Right, but it's not 15. Yeah. Right, so
it's close. Okay, going back to the state rank average teacher's pay, he's right. We do have a younger staff. In fact, you guys, I've all had your kids and grandkids now as a teacher. I've been here at Kelly as a student.
Some are younger. Some.
Surprised you didn't have Amy. Okay, I've been here 30 years, and we do have a younger staff. There's been nobody here at the high school longer than me. 52, and I started when I was 22. We've gone through 6 superintendents during this time. Remember, there's been a lot of them. And I'll tell you this, Pat is number one on the list for money, okay? And that's good. He's trying to protect everybody. We're asking you to bite the bullet this year and spend, you know, that 27 cents out of $100 for us. And in the future, you know, he's going to have to come up with that in a budget, okay? And again, like I said, whether it's, you know, buildings and grounds or whatever it is, you know, I don't think it's a huge amount out of your overall budget. We're asking just for a little bit. Okay? Now, on the last page, there's been some insurance in our area too, and we right now have a group of teachers that do have some insurance, myself included, that have been long enough that when Act 10 went into effect, the board was gracious enough to let us have our insurance.
So by insurance, you mean post-retirement insurance?
Post-retirement insurance.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Post-retirement insurance. So, for instance, I have 3.5 years of retirement built up. So when I retire, you know, I will use that. Our younger staff don't have anything right now. And we have several districts around us that do have something. Coleman provides 5 years at a single rate for their staff that's been there a certain amount. You can see the qualifications, 55 years and 15 years in the district. Niagara has the best policy. They have 3 years, and you just go, just like you're on staff, your insurance doesn't change. You just keep your insurance even though you're not employed anymore. Now, I know Pat's going to tell you later that they get an extra $500,000 a year in state aid. I understand that. I don't have any argument with that. What we're proposing is that you give us the go-ahead. We're not asking for, you know, we're not asking for anything, any yes or no specifically on this. We're just asking for your guidance when you meet later on. Can we try and find a way that we can fund insurance, self-funded, as Pat said when we met? So it wouldn't cost the district anything in the long run. Up front, it might cost you a little bit. Now, I have some ideas on this, and depending on how much money we can come up with would lead to how much insurance we would be able to cover. What I talked to Pat about, and I'm sure he'll mention it again in closed session, is can we take the savings possibly from a new person being hired when somebody retires? For instance, I'll use myself. I'm the highest paid staff member here at $65,400. I have a fourth grader, so it's going to be a while. But when I retire, somebody's going to replace me. And are they going to be paid $65,400? Probably not. You know, Pat's going to tell you this year we didn't hire a single person fresh out of college. I understand that. But in general, when you replace somebody, that person is less expensive. So what we're proposing is, can we take the savings from the first 2 years and put it into account? Okay, now this would be under Sarah's expertise again, figuring out what that savings is and putting it in that account. And then can we do some other things possibly to put some money in that account where we could pay insurance? For instance, could we change our deductible? Now, I don't know if Sarah's talked to Diversified Benefit Services, if we can have people that have a certain deductible here and people that don't. Because originally we talked about changing everybody's deductible $1,000. That would put an extra $50,000 into this account each year. But I think you're going to have some younger staff members that can't afford that $1,000 and are going to say no, because they don't have the long-range plans that, you know, Brett and I and some of the rest of us have for retirement. So then I thought possibly, what if some of us could sign up for it, and those that didn't just wouldn't get the insurance? And I don't know if that's possible, so I don't know what Sarah's going to say about that. But then I got to thinking, why do we need to do it on a deductible? Why don't we just have everybody that wants to get retirement insurance pay into an account? Whether it's $1,000 a year, whether it's $2,000 a year, whatever it is, we would take that out of our salary. We wouldn't have to take it out of deductible. That would go into that account, that slush fund, that would pay for insurance then. And theoretically, it might cost you a little bit up front, but theoretically, if we can build that pot up, there should be enough people over you know, some time where we have enough money in that account where insurance for us shouldn't cost you anything. But we need your permission to do a lot more research in that area, whether it's Pat and I, Sarah and Brett sit down or whatever it is, to see what we can do, what it's going to cost, that kind of thing. So I guess what we need from you when you come out of closed session tonight is a yes or no on that. If it's a no-go, then we just drop it. If it's a yes, look into it, then we'll proceed from there is kind of what I'm thinking. Pat, what are you thinking?
What's your deductible?
It's $1,000, Mike.
Out of pocket, it's $1,000. The district has a $6,000 high deductible.
Yeah, for family. Yes.
Per family. Single is $500 or $3,000. The district pays either $2,500 for a single or $5,000 for a family to make that bridge up to.
So what we would do, Mike, is change ours to 2,000, district would go to 4,000, saving that $1,000 upfront. If we can't do it that way, what I'm thinking is, can we create that fund that we talked about where we put the savings in there and just have the people that want to apply for insurance when they retire contribute to that fund? Now, we have to convince our younger staff members, okay, this is a no-brainer. You need to do it. Okay, insurance is so expensive. I mean, if we pay for our insurance, we're paying $25,000 a year for it. You have to work $2,000 plus out of your pocket each month to keep our insurance that we have now. So we understand how expensive it is. So you have to make some sacrifices. If you work 30 years like I do and put $1,000 in there, that's $30,000. When I go up, let's say you save $20,000 the first year. Let's say Pat hires somebody that's got 10 years of experience when I leave. Okay? They're going to get probably mid-40s. Okay? I make mid-60s, so that's $20,000. The next year, he's only going to save 19 because that person is going to get a raise. Okay, or whatever. So I've got my $30,000 that I put in over 30 years. Not me anymore. I've got my 30. I would have done it. Okay? I've got my $30,000. So you hire somebody new and they want to do it. They put $30,000 in there. They have their savings of 20 the first year and then 19 the second year. You're talking $75,000 roughly. That would be 3 years of insurance right there, and it wouldn't cost the district really anything. So we'd like you to consider two things. I don't know if I'm allowed in close, I'd love to give this whole speech again, but I'm sure, you know, if you guys have questions, you can ask. You know, we've got the salary schedule. We're asking for 27 cents out of $100 this year, and that would have to come out of the budget. Okay, we haven't had an adjustment on our salary schedule in 3 years. And in fact, when I was talking to Pat about this, I think we should meet as a group once or twice a year just to discuss things that are going on. It doesn't have to be us asking for something, but if there's something that you would like to ask of us, right? We just need to have a better line of communication. I mean, there's a chain of command, and I always talk to Pat first, right? But it, as a group, we can meet as a group, all of us in this room, and say, here's some things going on. What can we do to fix things? I mean, does it have to be every month? No. Maybe the beginning of the year, maybe the end of the year. You know, you could come up to us and Pat could say, hey, we need to work on this for next year. We'll see what we can do. So, you guys have any questions?
I guess I have one. Again, this is my first time dealing with a lot of this, so forgive me if it's a stupid question, but what is lane changes?
Okay, so each year what happens is I go up $800. So this year I make $65,400. Next year I would make $66,200. The year after, $67,000. What we're asking is change that 800 to 1,000. So I would go from 65.4 this year to 66.4 next year. So that $200 raise that we would get this year, we would keep going with $100. That's why Pat would have to come up with that out of his budget. Okay, him and Sarah, or you know, whoever does the number crunching. I will tell you this, Mike, back in the old days, because Pat has also been a negotiator, I'm sure, and a union president. I've been a union president for 13 years. Brett's our president now, but he's a rookie, so that's why I'm helping him out. You used to be able to negotiate, Mike, and if I took these numbers right here, and I gave them to an arbitrator, let's say we didn't agree, we would go to binding arbitration. That's what Act 10 took away. If I gave these numbers to an arbitrator, I don't think there would be an arbitrator anywhere that would not side with us. Right? That's been taken away. So what we're asking for now is just you guys saying, hey, okay, $200 is doable. Right? We can't give you anything in return other than the product that we put out right now. So.
And then to extend a little bit on the lane change thing, a long time ago, which is kind of when we started, there was steps in lanes. So if you achieve this many credits past your general degree and you were this many years of experience, it would step all the way down to step 36 and lane whatever. So you just kind of worked your way down as you gained more education and you were there longer, it kind of worked its way out. Act 10 kind of eliminated that, and then we just kind of have a slide thing plus a master's slide over, basically, is what it looks like.
So, master's moves you three of those steps or lanes as you're talking about.
So the further you extended your education past your degree, they wanted you to continue to educate yourself in the profession past your basic degree. That's basically gone now for the most part.
There were reasons why that went away.
Right. Yeah. But
there's two sides to that. And historically, in terms of The binding arbitration went away, basically with a qualified economic offer. So that's pre-Act 10. That's way back then. Qualified economic offer back in the day basically was, it was 3.14. If there was any combination of cost in terms of salary increases and or cost of insurance and benefit increases, you were maxed out by state law at 3.14. That's all you could give the staff, legally speaking. That's all that they could ask for. You couldn't go to arbitration if you were offered 3.14. Sometimes that ate up virtually all of the pay increase and insurance cost increases. So that, you know, maybe 3% of your 3.14 was all in health insurance cost increases. So, but when Act 10 came in, the change there was every district got cut, right? And so to deal with those cuts, the things like we're talking about here, where you had the steps and the moving over to the right, and you had post-retirement insurance and that type of thing, those things had to go away because all budgets were cut. I forget what percent it was off the top of my head. But in order to deal with those cuts, those things had to go away in order for budgets to balance, basically, within districts. That's kind of the history of what happened in terms of salary schedules and so forth within.
And then some of the language, some of the language is still hanging on because we've been around
right
throughout the whole change. We kind of stay with the language, and the language doesn't necessarily pertain to the new structure, basically.
The board allowed the existing employees that had some post-retirement insurance to keep that and to phase it out over time as new teachers came in and so forth. So it wasn't, the board could have literally just said, that's it, we're done, Act 10, 2013, nobody gets anything from this point forward. They allowed teachers like Mr. Ott and several others to continue with that post-retirement insurance that they had earned up to that point. So that's the end of the history.
And Jeff is more the numbers guy, but I'm, you know, I came here because of the, I left another district to come here because I wanted to be here, you know, and I think that part of it is the side that I see, like, how are you going to retain and how are you going to bring in staff? And these are the types of things I think are attractive, especially in our situation that we're in. Because, you know, honestly, if you look at a lot of the ed programs in the country, they're slowly starting to dry up. And I think schools are, I've seen personally where schools are trying to compete for people now, you know, I just look at it as being a way to incentivize someone to just stay right here if they're young and they want to raise a family and grow their family into this district. I think that's one of the focuses that I have because that was my reason for coming. And I think a lot of the young people are looking for a reason to stay and not drift. So that's part of it for me.
At least one other thing I completely forgot to feel terrible about it. On our salary schedule that I gave you, we dropped our lowest base on it, which we can actually still negotiate yet. Our lowest right now, if you look at that front page, is 35.5. And we want to drop it off our salary schedule and start using like 36.5 or whatever, 36.6. That brings us more into the ballpark with other staff. So as Brett's saying, you know, we're trying to look good. So if you get somebody fresh out of college, I know when I was hired in Curtis, my first interview was at a private school in Milwaukee, Racine State Cats. Okay, they offered me $15,000. Privets offered me $18,500. Well, that was a no-brainer, right? And I've been here for 30 years. So I forgot to mention that that's part of the salary schedule. I'm sure Pat would have mentioned it later tonight. But that also makes us more attractive to younger staff members. So.
And there, and honestly, I've seen it, and it's not around here, but it's interesting. I've seen where schools now have gone into another district because they have some connection, and they say, give us your number, and then they give you the number, they come back in and they offer them a raise, and 8, 9, 10 teachers travel 12 miles and they leave. And that's, you know, that's what I did. So, I mean, I'm not telling you that's not something I, you know, there's other factors there as well. It wasn't the pay, it was just there was other factors, but, you know, there's always a bonus to that. There's a lot of factors that want to keep people here. I think this is one that just kind of tops it off, especially for someone who wants to stick around for a while. And then, as you understand how insurance is going to change, you're at the 12 or 14 year, 15 year mark. You know, do you spend the next 15 years here with the incentive that you're going to be able to, you know, work something out? Or are you like, well, I'm going to go look for maybe one of these? You know, it's the way I look at it. You know, Jeff obviously is the numbers guy, and I'm the guy that looks at all that other stuff as well.
You guys got anything else?
I don't. I just want to say thank you for bringing this up.
Well, thank you for listening to us. Yeah. Like I said, seriously, it's just a conversation. You know, we're hoping you say yes to the whole thing as graciously. We'd appreciate it. But at least we've had a chance to talk to you, you know. And this is not anything against Pat, but if we had a week for you guys to come to us and say, hey, it's been, you know, 3 years, let's take a look at your salary schedule, I don't think that would happen. I mean, I don't know what kind of conversations you've had. So it's not like I don't being, you know, over the top here. We're just asking for $200 and then $200 each year after that. So
I do like the idea of maybe the VA, so we'll work on that.
And we talked about a few weeks ago, it's just having conversations. It's really all it is, you know, if you want to hear from us, then I think a setting like this is where you can ask pretty open-ended questions and we can provide our answers the best we can. And if there's some concerns, then I think there's ways that we can probably try to address some of those concerns just by simply being aware. If you're not aware, then you're
this,
all
this
of it.
Example of that.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to be aware.
Right.
Got just a couple minutes left for the last item. Kelly, if you just want to hit real quick.
The
need for the need for the
A 4 hour ASI unit is about asked him for it. We talked at that special board meeting about, you know, pulling the aides or pulling everyone that we have there to cover this year because of schedules and keeping everyone separate for especially lunch, recess times. That coverage is really difficult. And so some of the people in the building who aren't in front of students all day long, classroom teachers, myself, Tony Spaulding, Melissa Sanders, the new guidance counselor, Amy Dyer, the reading specialist, all those, we're covering lunches on a daily basis. It's in our schedules. This, adding this person helps free up some of it, not all of it, we still won't have some of those duties, but it makes it easier that if we have a teacher out and we don't have a sub, those are the ones that we pull in, those people who aren't classroom teachers, to cover those teachers. So if they already have, let's say, two lunch duties, and now I'm pulling them into a classroom in front of students, now I've got to find someone else to cover those two duties. So that's where this person helps a ton. It's crazy how much you put in there and pull off other people's plates so that when I need to pull them for other duties, it helps. This person also will help with some 4K, the new half-time 4K. They will help give that teacher right now. I mean, again, she is only half-time, but some time not in front of her students on the playground right now. She's doing all of that. It will also give time covering lunches, but also some cleaning in highly touched areas, door handles. Right now, lunches are done in classrooms, so those garbage cans are in the hallways. I mean, the big garbage cans are full of all that, and they can help take that out during the day, wipe down tables in the cafeteria between grade levels, eating in there, stuff like that. So it was pretty easy. It took me about 5 minutes to fill this 4 hour schedule of where I can pull that in. Yeah, so that's what I'm asking for, is the approval of a 1 4-hour aid to help cover, and again, if the hours would be 9 to 1. And it starts with 4K, and it goes through that lunchtime and helps with cleaning, with covering, all of that.
Budget-wise?
And this very likely would be a one-year.
1 year.
Like,
yes,
through
absolutely.
This year, once
yep,
we're
is,
out of the COVID things, they probably
due to
wouldn't need it.
So
this would be
this
obviously
year.
Like anything else this year that's additional to
yeah.
fund out.
Kelly?
So.
Yes.
Now, will this make it that our aides that were in the first grade will be back there?
It helped. It was about 40 minutes of them back into the first grade classroom. They would have one 30-minute duty outside of the first grade classroom with adding this person.
But not so, like before. They
Right. Yeah, before
okay.
it was about an hour.
Yeah.
10 to an hour and 15 minutes that they were out of the first grade classrooms. This brings it down to 30 minutes. They still
okay.
have to cover fourth grade lunch, but not distributing meals. This person would do that, and not a kindergarten lunch, 4K, helping with the 4K.
Okay.
So, yep, it brings about 40 minutes back of them back into the first grade classrooms where we have those higher.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Chris?
Yep.
Great, so we'll make a recommendation to the full board and hire the part-time non-wage paraprofessional position.
Okay.
Do we need a motion?
That's what it looks like.
You can. I mean, if it's not necessary in the committee, but if you want to do it and formalize it, you certainly.
I make a motion that we bring it to the full board for the elementary four-hour paraprofessional position.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, abstentions, carried 3-0. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, abstentions, carried 3-0.
Thanks, guys.